Chapter 12. I appreciate that song. Exodus chapter 12, verse 51. Stand with me as you turn there. Chapter 12, verse 51. We're going to read through verse 16 of chapter 13, all right? Exodus chapter 12, verse 51. It says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass in the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." God had set them free and bringing them out, and he'd used the plagues to do it. The last of them, that the Passover and the death angel passing through, and God was bringing them out. It says this in verse 1 of chapter 13, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which ye sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand for a memorial between thine eyes. The Lord, that the law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his session in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, and the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstlings of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of men among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out from Egypt and from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt." Lord, we love you and we thank you for this passage of Scripture, this Old Testament passage of Scripture that, Lord, really has some New Testament truths for us, things that we can still apply in our lives today. Things that remind us of your son Jesus is what he would do for us on the Calvary and the redemption that we'd have through your son and the importance of looking back and remembering what God has done for us. I pray this morning that you'd speak to our hearts and feed us from your word. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever forgotten something? You ever forgotten something that you really needed to remember? Maybe it was something to be done. Or people make whole careers out of helping people remember. How many of you use some type of, anybody use a task list app at all? You use an app maybe to track things that need to be done? I do. I use one. Maybe use pen and paper and you start writing things down so you'll remember it. I'll use an app and I'll try to write those things down and so that I'll remember the things that need to be done and I don't want to forget it. I've had things that I've forgotten that have cost me. One year last year, we went on a trip to Indiana, and when I left, I had my suit ready to go. Had my backpack there with my computer, my Bible, and everything sitting on the counter right by the door, ready to go. I packed everybody else's stuff in the back of the car, but when I walked out the door, I left my suit behind and my backpack that had my Bible and my notebook, and I showed up to preach for my dad up there, and I didn't have a suit, and I didn't have a Bible, and that's a bad place to be, right? And thankfully, I had a week, so I had time to go buy one. It gave me an excuse to buy a new suit, which I didn't mind at all, but usually, I'm giving my wife a hard time because it seems like we get no further than out of the neighborhood than she says, "Oh, wait, I forgot something." And the Lord just wanted to humble me that day, all right? He wanted to humble me that day. But we forget things. But we can forget things of great importance. And in this passage of Scripture, we see Moses and the Lord specifically giving instruction to the people that they would remember something. Verse 3, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day, in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from the place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." He said, I want you to remember what God has done. Well, there's an importance to remembering with the things of God. It's very important to look back and remember what God has done, what he said in his word, what he's already done in our life, our salvation. It can affect our faith, can it? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them which diligently seek him." Well, if you forget the way God has blessed when you followed him, it can hurt your faith, can't it? If you forget what the Lord has done for you and how he's brought you out, what it can do in your life. I think of the people of Israel. They would no sooner get out of Egypt, all the things that God had brought them, and bring them to the Red Sea before them and Pharaoh's army behind him. And it was like they forgot in a moment all that God had done. And God had to remind them again by parting the Red Sea. They would get into the wilderness, they would forget. It's like they forgot what God had done, and they would murmur when they ran out of water, and God would provide water from the rock, and they would murmur at the lack of food, and God would send manna from heaven, and God would provide for them. But it seemed like they were constantly struggling to remember and thus losing faith. I think when we struggle to remember who God is and what God has done for us, it can affect our life. But not only that, but our manner of living. It was said of Dwight Eisenhower, said this statement. It says, "History does not long entrust the care of freedom to the weak or the timid." Author Charles Kingsley said this, "There are two freedoms, the false, where a man is free to do what he likes, and the true, where a man is free to do what he ought." He said, there's a freedom that gives a man freedom, a false freedom that somebody says, I can do whatever I want, and then there's true freedom that says, I'm free to do what I ought. And here's this people, God didn't bring them out of Egypt and give them freedom from slavery and bondage so they can go into the land of Canaan and they could serve Balaam or Molech, or they could make a calf in the wilderness. That's not why he made them free. He made them free so they could serve him, so they could be a people to his name. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." God didn't set us free from sin. He didn't go to Calvary to die on the cross and rise again 3 days later so that we could live as we wanted without consequence and still have heaven. But that those of us who are dead in trespasses of sin could now live for him. So that you and I could do what we could not do before, and that was please God with our life. Romans 6:12-13 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those which are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." He said, I didn't save you from sin so you could continue in sin, but that you could live for me. He sets us free so that we could live for him. And when we forget what God has done, when we forget, boy, it sure has an outcome in our life. Boy, that song we just sang, "Holy, Holy, Holy," it's a reminder, isn't it? God is holy. You live in this world, you begin to lose sight of sometimes even of what holiness looks like. And when you look to God, you get a really good picture of holiness and call of God. We lose sight of the fact that God is love. We may wonder and separate from God, but the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When you get a good glimpse at how much God loves you, it'll pull you back to him. Here the Lord is looking at the people, and he said, I want you to have some things in your life that you will not forget. Do not forget. First of all, he would say, don't forget his redemption. Don't forget his redemption. In verse 3, Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which he came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by the strength of the Lord hath he brought you out from his place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day ye come out in the month of Abib. He was calling them, and he would give instruction further on this thing called the Passover that we looked at last week. If you skip down to verse 11, he says this, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, every firstling that cometh of the beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's, And every firstlings of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem. He told them, I want you to establish two things when you come into the land. One day you're going to be in a land of promise. One day you're going to be there in the land that I promised you. You'll be free from slavery in Egypt. You'll be through the wilderness and you'll be enjoying the land. And he said, I want you to have these things as a memorial. I want you to remember how you got to where you are. Here's the first one. It's the Passover. The Passover. 7 days in your household, there'll be no leaven in your bread, nothing to make it rise. And that leaven was a picture of sin. He said, I want you to remember this. He said, I want you to remember that 7 days. I want you to have this feast of the Passover. And you know what it is? The Lord had done some mighty things. He had sent Moses to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. Pharaoh had said, I know not your God, and I'm not letting the people go. And the Lord would send plague after plague. Turn the water to blood. And Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. Plague after plague, lice rising up out of the dust of the ground, frogs coming up and covering land, darkness, hail, cattle and animals slain by a disease, a murrain that would slay them, and all these things. And finally, that last of them, Egypt lay desolate, and even the people were saying, Pharaoh, just let them go. Yet Pharaoh would refuse. And God would say, this night, the death angel is visiting the land. Death angel is visiting the land. He's going to kill the firstborn in every household. And there's only one way to escape it. You get a perfect lamb. A spotless lamb. And you pull that lamb out and you slay that lamb and you put the blood of that lamb upon the doorpost and upon the lintel of your house. And you take that lamb in and you roast it whole and you eat of that lamb ready to go. Have your clothes on, your loins girt about, your shoes on your feet, ready to eat in haste and ready to go. Because tomorrow you're heading out of here. That death angel would sweep through the land. And when he saw the blood, he would pass over them. He would pass over that house. But everywhere there was no blood, he would visit the house and the firstborn of that house would die. He would take them all. And as that happened the next day, Pharaoh said, out you go. And they would leave the land of Egypt and they would go on and know the freedom of God. But God, here's Moses saying, you'll remember this year after year. The first day of the first month of your year, this will now be the first month of the year. And you'll remember this by taking part in the Passover. No leavened bread. You'll find a perfect spotless lamb and you'll watch it and you'll slay it. And you'll put the blood on the doorpost and you'll eat of that lamb whole. And whatsoever is left of it, you'll burn off. You won't leave anything left. He said, you'll do this year after year. And every year, you will remember how I brought you out, how I redeemed you, how I brought you out of slavery. He said, then I want you to do this. Every firstborn, when a firstborn child is born, you're to have a special sacrifice for that child. He would spell it out more in Leviticus when he would say this, and when the day of her purifying was fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, under the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord. He said, when that firstborn child is born, there's to be a sacrifice made for that child, a lamb. If you can't afford a lamb, a turtle dove or a pigeon. The Lord Jesus Christ, on his birth, 8 days afterward, Mary and Joseph would bring him to the temple. And they would offer up a turtle dove. They didn't have much. They would offer that to redeem, a picture of redemption. He said, you remember, the firstborn would be gone if it's not for the blood of the Lamb. Remember how I brought you out. You know what God calls us to remember? How he brought us out. In the book of Peter, he would say it this way in 1 Peter, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. He said, I don't want you to ever forget how you came out. In Ephesians chapter 2, he would remind us that we were dead in trespasses of sin. In Romans, he would say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 6:23, he would say, for the wages of sin is death. You will die in this life because of sin. In Revelation, he would tell us there's more than a physical death in this life. There's an eternal separation from God, and death and hell were cast in a lake of fire, which is the second death. Lake of fire, a bottomless pit, forever separated from God. That was who we were. But one day, the final, perfect, spotless Lamb came. John the Baptist, on seeing him come down to the river to be baptized, would cry out, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And our Savior, the holy, spotless Lamb of God, would walk on this sin-cursed earth and be born in that little manger and live his life without sin. And he would die on that cross and utter those words, it is finished. Give up the ghost. Friend, he didn't stay in the grave, did he? Christ arose. 2,000 years later, we're still singing about it, right? Because as much as it was true for them then, it's still true for us today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Your redemption. Jesus stepped in, paid the price of our sin. Before salvation, a sinner was who you were, and sin is what you did. But from then, you're no longer a sinner, are you? You came to know Christ. Sin has lost its hold on you. If you sin, it's because you chose to, not because you had to. No longer wrapped up in it. And he says, remember this day after day, year after year. Remember what your Lord has done for you. In Deuteronomy 6:10-12, it would say this to them, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses filled with all good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged which thou diggedst not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said, when you leave, there's coming a day, friend, he would tell them, there's coming a day when there will be folks, when we'll come into a land and we'll live in cities that we did not build, and houses that are filled with things that we did not build, and we'll eat from vineyards and olive trees that we did not plant. We'll drink from wells that we did not dig, and we will enjoy the goodness and the blessings of God. And if you're not careful, in all the blessings, you will forget the one who gave it to you. You will forget where you came from. You will forget that you were a slave in Egypt. That you were in bondage. Your little boys, when they were born, in fear of death. Because the order of the king was that they should die. And you will forget. Oh, they would forget. Just a short journey into the wilderness, and Mount Moses would go up on Mount Sinai to meet with God, and they would forget. Aaron would make us a calf. And they would make a calf and say, it's the calf that brought us out. They would run out of water, and they would forget. And God would have to give them water. The time would pass. They would enter into the promised land and enjoy all those cities they had not built, and the homes they had not built, and the vineyards and that they did not plant, and the wells that they did not dig, and they would forget. And they would worship Baal, Molech. They would forget. God said, don't you ever forget where you came from. Year after year, the first month of the year, the Passover. When a newborn child, when that child, that firstborn, is born, a sacrifice. When an animal is born that is the first, sacrifice that animal. If it's a donkey, that unclean animal, either make a sacrifice of a lamb for it or break its neck. But redemption, he goes, there is a picture of redemption. You remember when you were saved, friend? For me, you know the story. I've told it too many times. Well, I'm going to keep telling it. May of 1995, Madera Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, on a Wednesday night, message out of 1 John, I came to know Christ. Never forget. Look back. There was a day tonight, our Savior, just before his crucifixion, celebrating the Passover with his disciples in the upper room. There they were, no unleavened bread. Garments rolled up, ready to go, shoes ready to go, eating of the Last Supper. Judas would dip his sop there in the bread with the Lord. He'd say, the Lord would say, whoever's done that betrays me. Judas would slip out, and he would betray Christ. They'd come for him as he prayed, and they would take him and take him before the religious ruler. And they would deliver him to Pilate, and Pilate would have him crucified. The last of the last of the Passover meals. But tonight, here in Columbus, Georgia, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And he would say to practice that Lord's Supper, and tonight we'll take bread and picture that perfect lamb, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary, and his body. And we'll remember, won't we? We'll drink of the juice, that picture of his blood that was shed, and we will remember. Never forget. You know why they murmured in the wilderness? They forgot. Why they made a calf? They forgot. Why they turned to Baal? They forgot. Molech? They forgot. Do you know why we go back? We forget. We forget the goodness of God, the redemption that he's purchased for us. And we find ourselves murmuring and turning to things that can do nothing for us. We find ourselves enjoying the blessings that God has given to us in our life, but forgetting the one who gave them to us. He said, never forget. Don't forget. Don't forget, if you will, his redemption. Don't forget his preeminence. Look at verse 2, what he says here in verse 2. He says, sanctify unto me all the what? The firstborn. Verse 4, he said, this day came ye out in the month of Abib. And then he begins to give instruction on the Passover. If you go back to chapter 12, verse 2, he's given instruction on the Passover and how it's to continue. And he said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. He said, I want your firstborn child. I want the first day of the month. He said, what he was saying is not that he just wants the first, but that he wants to be the first. Jesus was asking for the first. God was asking for the first because he wanted to be first in their life. I think of the verse in Colossians where it would say this. It would say, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Matthew 6:33, you know the verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God said, I want to be first. Let this Passover happen in the first month. Give me that first child. In Leviticus 27, he would continue what God had already been demonstrated in the Word of God when he would say in Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto me. When they would enter into the promised land and cross over the Jordan River, and there was Jericho, God would say, don't you dare take a thing out of it. It's the first city, and everything in belongs to me. Achan would break it and take of it. And God's judgment would come. But what was God saying? It's not that he just wanted first. It's that he wanted to be first. And he knew the only way he could be first in their life is if they gave him first of all. First. Well, isn't that true? This is Sunday. What is Sunday? Well, it's the first. It's the first day of the week. Tomorrow you have an opportunity. Will you give him the first? David would say in Psalms 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Whenever your day begins, begin with God. First. The first of our day, the first of our week, the first of our finances, the first of our life. The first in everything. But when we forget. It's not that God just wants to be a part of our life or a big part of our life. He wants to be first in all things. And friend, by the way, he deserves it. He shed his blood on Calvary. He rose again 3 days later that we might be saved. He purchased us and redeemed us with the precious blood of his own son. First. First. I would ask you, does God have first, or have we forgotten? He would warn them. There's coming a day. You're going to enter the land. Cities you didn't build. Houses you didn't fill. Vineyards you didn't plant. Olive trees you didn't plant. Wells that you did not dig. Don't forget who brought you out. Don't you forget who redeemed you. Don't you forget to keep me first in all things. Don't you let me slip out of first. What is that first of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other God before what? Me. Nothing comes before him. God is meant to be the first consideration in everything. You know, God is supposed to be the first consideration in your work life. He is to be the first consideration in your family life. He is to be the first consideration in your marriage. He is to be the first consideration in your worship, in your life. He is to be the first in everything, and he is satisfied with nothing less than first because he purchased you with his own precious blood. First. First. He looked at these folks and he said, give me the firstborn. Give me the first month. Give me the first of all thine increase. Have no other God before me. Make me first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Unless you're too saying, preacher, you're in the Old Testament, in case you didn't forget. Well, that's Matthew 6:33. That's New Testament. Colossians, he said that in all things he might have the preeminent. That's New Testament. I'm going to tell you something. There's something about God we love to lean on. He is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. He has never changed. God wanted first in the old, and he wanted first in the new. What he did at Calvary is make us capable of giving him the first. He saved our soul. Those of us that were dead and dead of trespass of sin, henceforth, we no longer live unto ourselves, but we live unto him. Making him first. How easy it is to slip. To forget. Sometimes a willful choice, right? Those fellas in the wilderness, just a few days, just a short time out of Egypt. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. They lose sight of Moses. He'd been up there too long meeting with God. And they said, well, God must have killed Moses on the mount. Something happened to him. Hey, Aaron, make us a calf. And he says, bring me your jewelry. They brought him a jewelry and he made a calf. And they all said, well, this is the one that brought us out. They gave credit to a calf they made out of things they brought out of Egypt. That's what they did. When they spoiled Egypt, they took its spoils and made themselves a calf and said, well, look who gets the credit. That was a willful choice. We'll forget him on purpose. There would be those who would forget him and drift from him. Don't forget. Don't forget his redemption. Don't forget his preeminence. Don't forget his glory. Look at verse 8 in this passage of Scripture. I love this verse here. It says, there's some parenting advice here in verse 8. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. Verse 14, and it shall be, and thy son asketh thee in the time to come, saying, what is this? Thou shalt say unto him, by strength of the hand of the Lord that brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine eyes and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by my strength, by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. He said, there's coming a day when your children are going to look around and say, well, this is awfully strange. There's coming a day, he said, your children will wonder, why is the first of our month out of our year always begin with Passover? And explain to me what this Passover is. This is awful strange. We eat a meal like no other meal we eat. We're not allowed to have leavened bread. That leaven has to be completely out of our house. Not only is it not allowed to be in our bread, but it even can't even be in our house. No rising bread here. Then we have this lamb. We have to go among the lambs, and we have to find the perfect one. And then we separate it, and we have to watch it from the 10th day to the 14th day. We have to watch it for 4 days to make sure it's perfect. And then we're not saving it because it's perfect to show everybody, but we kill it. And we put the blood on the house. How strange. And then we roast that lamb out over the fire whole. We're not allowed to break it up and save some for later, but the whole lamb we roast over the fire. It can't be broken. It can't be put in water and boiled. It has to be roasted. And then we eat like we never eat. We dress like we're ready for a trip. We have to have our shoes on our feet. Our loins gird up like we're about ready to run. We eat of this lamb whole. And if any of it's left, there's no leftovers. We burn the remainder. Dad, explain this to me. What is this about? Every time a firstborn child is born, they take a sacrifice. They find another lamb, and we sacrifice the lamb for that firstborn child. And if someone can't afford a lamb, we find some turtle doves or some pigeons. Explain that to me. Explain to me why every animal that's born, the first of it dies. Explain this to me. It's awful strange. And Dad leans over and says, son, let me tell you why. We were slaves. 400 years we lived in Egypt. 400 years we looked and we longed for this promised land that God had told Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that would be ours. For 400 years from generation to generation, we longed to be there. And then we become slaves in this land, and they made us build their cities and pave their roads and beat us with whips when we didn't meet their quota. And we lived in bondage and slavery, and everything that we had belonged to someone else. And then they hated us so much that if a firstborn child was to be born in that, or if a boy was to be born in that land, Pharaoh gave order, kill the child. Slaves is who we were. We were no people at all. But God visited us in our affliction. And he sent a man named Moses to look Pharaoh in the eye and say, let my people go. And Pharaoh would say, I know not your God, and I will not let these people go. And then God would go on to show himself for exactly who he was. He would smite the water and turn it to blood. He would make the dust of the ground into lice. He would say, frogs from the sea. He would make the sky dark. He would kill their cattle and lay Israel, Egypt desolate. And then that last of plagues, Pharaoh's heart still hard. God would send a death angel through the land. And every firstborn was to die. Didn't matter who you were, where you lived, every firstborn died. But if there was a lamb that was slain, and the blood were put over the doorpost, when that death angel came by, when he saw the blood, he would pass over us. And he passed over us. And he brought us up, and he brought us out. And he brought us out of Egypt, and he brought us through the wilderness, and he brought us into this land, and we live in cities that we haven't built. We live in homes that we haven't built. We reap from vineyards and olive trees that we did not plant. We drink from wells that we did not dig. We have received the blessings of God. And so here we are, because by the mighty hand of God, he has brought me out. And he said, look to him. And he said, we will give glory to where it belongs. And I will ask you something, Christian. I will tell you, never forget the glory of God.
Never forget to sit and say, I am where I am because of the Lord. Never forget to whisper the words of Paul or shout the words of Paul. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That I was chiefest of sinners and I persecuted the church and I was a lost man. But Jesus loved me anyway. And he brought me out by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything I have because of him. Tonight, as we take the Lord's Supper, we will say, everything that we have because of him. And he has brought me out from what I was. And one day, he's coming again, and I will see him face to face, and I will live with him for all of eternity. His glory. Never forget him. Friend, there's an opportunity every day of our life. Today, you're here. Two of my kids are here and several of them in other places. And I get to say, Dad, why is it every Sunday, this first day of the week, why is it we go there every week? Why is it we do not miss? Why? Explain it to me, Dad. Oh, there was a day when my Savior left his throne, was born in a little manger in Bethlehem and lived his life without sin. Stood before Pilate, before the religious crowd, and there they doomed him to die. But his life wasn't taken from him. He laid his life down that you and I might be saved. And he shed his blood for my sin that I might know the righteousness of God. We don't go here today for what we may, merely what we may obtain, but for what we have already received, friend. I hope you get something from church today. But if you get nothing from church today, there's a good reason to be here today. Calvary, my friend. Calvary. Dad, why is it that every morning, why is it you strive to do your best to every morning or to every day? And I don't do it with perfection, but why do we give, Dad? Why do you ask of us? Why do you give and walk in that word every morning? Why do you strive to begin with God? There's so many other things you could be doing. Well, there was this day called Calvary. There was this one named Jesus who gave his life for me. And I want him to have the first of it. Dad, why is it that you give that 10% of everything you have? Why is it when we gather together on that first of the week as you have been given to, you give back to God? Why is that? Is it because given it shall be given unto you? Oh, no, that's a good thing. But no, friend, it's because I've already been given to. I'm not given because I'm waiting to get something. I'm given because I've already received it. And his name is Jesus. Why? Because of what we have. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. Why is it you strive to live holy? Is it so you might reap some temporary blessing? Why is it, Dad, you confess? Why is it that we confess our sins when we have been wrong? Why is it we lean on God and ask him to help us to live right? Why do we live differently than the rest of the world? Is it so we might receive some temporal blessing from living right? Oh, there are temporal blessings for living right, but no, friend. It's because he called me out. Made me his. Give him the glory. I will say to you this, first of all, father, mother, do you do things that make your kids question? It's a good thing to be asked. Why do we go to church? Why do we read our Bible? Why do we give? Why do we share the gospel? Why do we live this way? That you might answer back. His name is Jesus. And his sacrifice at Calvary. And every good thing that I have, when I reap the blessings of this land that I do not deserve, God gave them to me. And may we not look around and say, well, son, we have all of these things because I did. Nebuchadnezzar. No, may we say we have all of these things because of his grace. Amen. Because of his grace. Don't forget his glory. If we're not careful, we begin to take it. Look what I have done. Look at what I have. Friend, everything you have, he gave to you. You said I worked for it. Well, friend, there's one who gave you the ability to work. There's one who gave you the mind you have. There's one who saved your soul. Everything you have, he gave you by his grace. Everything. Give him the glory. He would say in that verse in Galatians to the New Testament Christian, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." He told those people, there's coming a day when you'll know liberty. The bondage of Egypt will be gone. The wilderness wandering over. The joys of the promised land experienced. Don't use your liberty to worship Baal. Don't use your liberty to go to Molech. Don't you do it. But you remember me. My redemption at the Passover. My preeminence as you give him first. My glory as you explain who brought you out. Friend, someone brought you out. Remember what he did for you in your redemption. Remember to give him first. He's the only one who's worthy of being first. And remember to give him the glory, that we might say, it's because of him. Because of him. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for this book of Exodus. Lord, you knew we needed it. You knew we were made up of the same stuff for those folks coming out of Egypt. But there's times when we get so caught up in the blessings that we forget about the one who's given it to us. There's times when we move too far past our redemption in Calvary and we begin to forget about how good you've already been to us and begin to murmur and complain. Lord, you knew that we would sometimes lean toward giving ourselves first or moving you off of the throne that you deserve. You knew, Lord, that we would struggle at times to give you the glory in all things and the preeminence in all things. So you reminded us. I pray this morning the reminder would be strong in our heart. That where you have fallen out of first, we'd put you on first place in our life. Lord, where we have taken glory, we'd give it back. Lord, if we've moved off that wonderful redemption, I pray that you would remind us of it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you this question. How many can say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved. Not like me, you could look back. I remember that day in May of 95 when I trusted Christ." You may not remember the exact date or time, but you can look back and say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved. I believe in what Jesus died on the cross for me, and he rose again, and I put my trust in him, and I know Christ is my Savior. That's settled for me." Would you raise your hand? You'd say, "Preacher, that's me." I think you may put your hand down. Is there anybody here this morning who said, "Preacher, I'm unsure of that"? Maybe you're still wandering around in the bondage of Egypt, in the bondage of sin. You say, "Preacher, I want that freedom that only Christ can provide. I want to know Christ is my Savior. Would you pray for me?" Is there anybody like that? You'd say, "Preacher, pray for me." Is there anybody like that? Let me ask you this then, Christian. How many of you say, "Preacher, the Lord has spoken to my heart"? Maybe you've just begin to forget some things. How much he did for you. His redemption, his sacrifice at Calvary. Maybe it's that preeminence. He no longer holds first place. Maybe he's got a part, but he doesn't have the first part. Maybe it was the glory to bring to his name. Maybe you're here this morning, you're convicted in your heart. There's not enough places where you could say, "I do this because of." At least not an answer back for Christ. You say, "Preacher, the Lord has spoken to my heart this morning." Would you raise your hand as a testimony? Would you stand with me as that pianist begins to play, as God has spoken to your heart? Time of prayer is given, and we'll do business with God. If nothing else, to worship him for who he is and to thank him for his sacrifice at Calvary. Thank you for the day you were saved. But as God has spoken to your heart, do business with him.